GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Heldrick Tyler Show. George on vacation in FLA. Jamie Beck, we met her from Dignity First online at dignityfirst.me. They're on the front lines. An organization that's trying to, I like their positioning statement here, investing in people from the street onto their feet. Jamie's dialed in on line three this morning. Jamie, welcome back to GHRT. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing okay. The family's doing okay. I think anyone that says they're doing good right now might be fibbing, because this is a stress, this is a strain on everyone, COVID-19. And I had an experience this week, and I want to tell you about it, Jamie, and I want to get your reaction to it, okay? I was told to go out and film something. I went through the streets of Bangor trying to find a location to do it. Eventually, I was allowed to go inside Bagel Central, an eatery in downtown Bangor. And once inside, it was still open at the time, once inside, there were three people in there. And I could tell, Jamie, from looking at each of the individuals, that they were homeless. I could discern that they were from how they were carrying objects, belongings. And I thought for a moment, the library's closed, the shelters are closed, the places where the most at-risk people would go to fend for themselves, they were shut out of because of COVID-19. More than ever, if you keep your eyes open, you're going to see the homeless population in our state. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong at all. To be very honest, there is virtually more places that they are not allowed to be. And the just fact of it appears to be illegal to exist unless you have a permanent residence somewhere in the city. So not just places to be during the day, friends to hang out with. It's a really isolating experience to be homeless. We think about our neighborhoods and the places where people who have housing live, you're surrounded by people all the time. I live in Bangor, and my neighborhood has a Facebook page, and we are very active on our Facebook page. If anybody needs anything, if anybody wants, like just this morning, someone offered to do online art lessons and online yoga lessons and linked their pages. People who are homeless don't have access to that on a regular basis, so they're even more isolated when they can't go to places like the shelters, like the warming centers that shut down, like the library, because we're not supposed to be convening in larger than 10-person groups. So that really, it just feeds into the larger problem of we, our society, not set up to help those most in need in meaningful ways.
If we don't help them, aren't we running the risk of seeing them among the first to be exposed to COVID-19 and as they wander about, share it with others? There's a danger here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, many of them may have main care, but they don't get the notices that say, hey, if you feel like you're sick or have these symptoms, you need to call into the doctor first. You need to go to the specific location that's doing drive-through testing and that kind of thing. So they are either going into a doctor or not going into a doctor. And like you said, they're in the community, you know, being in places where they can be. And we're all exposing each other to these risks. And that's not just them exposing us, it's us exposing them as well. And they are even less equipped to have Tylenol on hand, to be in a place where they can have nutritious food and make sure that they're drinking enough and getting good sleep. All those immune boosters, they don't have access to any of that. Especially because people are hoarding food and supplies right now. The food pantries are screaming for people to help out because they're not getting the regular donations that they were, because people are afraid of transmitting disease, or they're just buying up everything in the stores. There's things going around on Facebook about how all of the items which parents who have WIC, those are the only things that they can get. When you get a WIC check, there are specific brands, there are specific sizes of things that you can get and can't get, and those are all gone off the shelf. So even the government assistance that people are getting, they can't even use because people are hoarding food.
We're talking with Jamie Beck. She's the founder of Dignity First online at dignityfirst.me, investing in people from the street onto their feet. And we're talking of COVID-19 putting the already at risk at even greater risk. I told Dennis Marble, whom you may know, formerly of the Bangor Area Homeless Shelter, that when I saw these three people at that restaurant that morning, I stopped myself as I left and I said, why didn't I do anything to help any of them? And then I realized, you know what? I'm not carrying any cash these days. seriously, Jamie, I stood there in the rain for a time thinking, what could I have done? What should I have done? So I'm going to ask you the same question, Jamie.
I got answers. So in that instance, you were in an establishment, which is a local area business. This is not a chain business. So they thrive on local business, right?
Yeah.
So even though you didn't have cash on you to hand to people who might be in a location like a local area business, you could have gotten a gift card from that business and given it to them. Because not only would you be helping the people who are receiving the gift card to have a meal another day, because a lot of places are still doing takeout and curbside assist or curbside pickup, you're also helping out that local business whose customer base and cash flow is going to be extremely limited in the coming days and weeks. So, I mean, that's a suggestion that is possible for anyone. I mean, obviously, be careful about handing things off to other people, wash your hands, that kind of thing. But, you know, if we're working on this together, let's think of creative ways to help all of our community thrive. That's the point of what we do at Dignity First. It's a partnership, a neighbor. We are neighbors together, you know, so not only are you helping someone who may not have been able to feed themselves that day, you're also allowing them to feed back into the local economy by purchasing goods at a local. So that's one way. I mean, obviously, we get into the bigger ideas of how do we cut to the problem of people are unhoused in our area, and that's a bigger, longer conversation, and we are constantly having this conversation of how do we get more funding, and it's an interesting thing to see what our government and legislatures are trying to accomplish with all these stimulus and aid packages and relief funds and that kind of thing when our economy is kind of crashing at the moment, and what is prioritized and what isn't. You know, people who don't really see that there was a problem with how our economy was set up are realizing that, you know, a lot of people, especially very low income, are living on a shoestring. And those are the people who are quickly going to become homeless if we don't do something about mortgage rates being put on hold and making sure that people who are renting, especially in low income areas, don't lose their housing, because guess what? That means that there's more unhoused people in all areas. It's not one area in the country or in our state or whatever that's going to be affected more than another. Everywhere is being hit at the same time. So this is a bigger existential problem that we need to address on a county, country, all kinds of levels. But even just in our micro area, if you feel the need to reach out and help, number one, make sure you're washing your hands and coughing into your sleeves and stay home if you're not feeling well. But if you can send gift cards or buy gift cards for people from local area businesses, don't buy McDonald's gift cards. Sorry, McDonald's, but you're doing all right. buy from local area businesses that are still open and try and feed into our economy and help people that way.
This person writes to us, we have empty buildings in Bangor. Why not open them up and keep the people in there, but keep them separated?
Well, that's an idea. And what empty buildings are you talking about? Are you talking about buildings that are currently vacant, but they are habitable? Are you talking about placarded houses? Because there's over 140 placarded houses in Bangor.
When you say placarded houses, you mean ones that have been boarded up, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are unsafe or unsanitary for human living. There's a lot of those that could be, you know, taken care of, but it all takes time. It takes effort. It takes money. On top of which, it gets away from the dignity part of you're just throwing people into a situation where they're not stable. They don't have, like, a lot of these places don't have running water or sewage that works, or there's unsafe parts of the buildings. Like, it takes a lot of work to get into all these things. Yeah, there's a lot of houses that are available, and that would be great if we could acquire a bunch of houses and offer those to people who are ready to move into permanent and stable housing. If you're talking about buildings, like apartment, or not apartment buildings, but like business buildings, it's not equipped for that. I mean, would you want to go and camp out on a gym floor if you had other arrangements that felt more comfortable to you, that you felt safer? I wouldn't.
But those other arrangements aren't available right now, at least temporarily.
Well, right. But right now, the weather's more mild compared to deeper into the winter, and a lot of people are camping right now. And I know a lot of area homeless aid groups are getting a lot more tents and blankets and things, and people are taking advantage of that. And I'm not suggesting that that's a fix-all solution, but if it were me, I would probably prefer to camp out and find someplace secluded to be away from people and away from other things than be in a big open gym with a bunch of other people, even though we would be separated to 6 feet.
At least 6 feet.
You never know.
The listener who's a part of the conversation here, at least sending text messages, said, I'm talking about the commercial buildings, and at this point, something is better than nothing. And yet another listener writes into us, what about all the schools that are closed down? You could put one person in each classroom. At least that could take care of a handful of the population, depending on the size of your city.
Right, but it all goes back to, this is a temporary solution. How long are the schools going to be open, or I mean closed, so people would be able to shelter in place there? Mm-hmm. It provides security risks because, I mean, having people who have been out on the street, they are coming into a place that is unfamiliar to them. Are the schools going to take on a liability like that? Because this is not meant for human habitation. I mean, there are no beds there. You know, there's limited cooking areas, like there is a cafeteria, but it takes a lot of coordination to make that happen. On top of which,
well, I'm going
to
jump in on you there, because we're having a conversation, and that is, if we were truly in a crisis, that would not be a bad idea, because we could outfit those facilities to what they need to be for the short term or medium term.
What are you going to do with people after there is no a short term or immediate term?
What happens when
life goes back to the way it is? Do they go back on the street?
And by then, and this is I see this as an excellent opportunity, Jamie, because then we have them. We know how to reach them and target them for the services they need. They're not a moving target anymore. They are right there. We can get to them one-on-one, a safe distance, and then show them where they can go, guide them. And by the time that the schools are back in session, clean them up, and then these people can go back to some of the facilities that were open that have had to have been shut down by the governor's order.
Rick, they already were in those spots, though. I mean, yes, they don't have access to the warming shelters right now, and Bangor Homeless Shelter is limiting the number of people, but you're not going to get everybody. Not everybody is going to come into that. And while it might be a solution for a few people, it's not a solution for all people who are experiencing homelessness right now. So the effort that would be put into converting a school into a temporary shelter when you've got lots of other factors going on there, feel free to talk to Betsy Webb about that in Bangor. But I don't see that as a sustainable idea. I like that you have enthusiasm for this, but the practicality of it is that it's going to open up a lot more risks for everyone involved. The people who are newly displaced out of shelters or like the homeless shelter or Hope House or the warming shelters, those people are not going to seek out more temporary places when they know it's just temporary. It's not sustainable. And the moving targets are always going to be moving. People who stay in warming shelters may only stay a couple of nights and then they're gone. They don't necessarily access services.
We could talk for 2 hours on this. And I knew this. I told you you're going to regret giving me your business card. Jamie Beck, the others have questions about permanent solutions that you offer. We're going to direct them to dignityfirst.me, your website. Jamie Beck of Dignity First. I'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Thank you for letting me come on and having my say.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.